convenience. The most branches, the most ATMs. And now, Home Loan Express, Chevy Chase Bank, the leading local bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
You have computer problems. You want a specialist with training.
Look, all I have to do is twist the wires just like this, and I...
Ow! Don't worry. Nissan dealer service technicians have the training. Factory training. At your Nissan dealer, in order for a technician to work on your Nissan, they have to be a factory-trained Nissan service technician. They train with material that's up to the minute, and they cover everything from the electrical system to engine diagnostics and more. So when you get service at your Nissan dealer, you're not just getting a technician, you're getting a Nissan specialist who lives and breathes Nissans. A factory-trained technician at the head of the class, or someone a bit less qualified? Trust the people that know your Nissan inside and out. Trust your local Nissan dealer's service department. The tools, the technology, the technicians. Nissan, genuine service and parts.
It's Washington Post Radio, 1500 AM, 107.7 FM on the World Wide Web, too, at WashingtonPostRadio.com. Sam Litzinger here, 21 minutes past 2 o'clock. Well, we've heard a little more from alleged D.C. Madam Deborah Jean Palfrey. She was speaking on ABC's 2020 program on Friday night. She says hers was a business that really didn't involve a lot of romance. This, whatever she was involved in, we're still legally trying to figure this out.
There is no romance in it. It's a service. I don't think there's any romance in any of this.
She says it's a service. We're joined by Tracy Kwan, former call girl and author of Diary of a Married Call Girl. Welcome to Washington Post Radio.
Hi, good afternoon.
It's a service business, is it?
Well, it is a service business, and I think especially in the parts of this business where people advertise, there probably is less romance.
In Washington, D.C., you would think this would be maybe one of the better grounds for this kind of business? It's a kind of transient population, people coming in from all over the place?
Oh, the transient thing may contribute to that lack of romance. Actually, in the New York business, things are a bit more romantic.
How so?
People form very long attachments with their customers. And the customers also are very attached to service providers they've seen. Some women are seeing the same customers for 15 or 20 years. Maybe it's different in Washington because you do have that turnover.
Do the laws vary from place to place?
The laws in this country are state by state. So in New York, we're governed by New York laws. And, for example, Nevada, of course, has very interesting laws. Some parts of Nevada have legalized prostitution.
What would you like to see nationwide? Should there be one standard, do you think, rather than having these wide variations?
That's a very interesting question, because in Canada, for example, one of our closest neighbors, their laws are, for the most part, federal. And so in order to liberalize the laws, it's the challenge is to get the federal law changed. It's not 10 different provinces or whatever. So, and here, yeah, it's a big it's a problem for us, because if the laws are liberalized in one state, there is a fear that there'll be a migration from all the other states, right? I mean, and then you'll have resistance from sex workers in that state. It's a divide and conquer technique.
We're talking with Tracy Kwan, who's the author of Diary of a Married Call Girl. How'd you get involved in the business?
Well, the same reason most people do. I felt that it was the best option for me in terms of I wanted to make my own way in the world. It was an independent income. I was living with my boyfriend as well, and he was supporting me, which was very kind of him, but I really wanted to make my own income.
Why did you feel this was the best way?
I was actually a teenager at the time. It really was the best way for me. It's not the case for everybody. Most of the sex workers I know actually started working when they were in their 20s. But I was a minor, and this actually was, you know, the most realistic way for me to have independent money. And then I got attached to the business. I discovered that I actually liked it, and I wanted to stay in it when I became an adult.
You have to be a business person, I'm assuming, as we've been talking about with alleged Madam Deborah Jean Palfrey here, because there is a business that has to be run.
Well, you know, in my novel, for example, it's based on the lives of independent call girls who do have their own businesses. In reality, in Washington, with the escorts who worked for Deborah Jean, a lot of these ladies probably were not business people, and they actually preferred working for someone who ran the business. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Because that way they don't have the responsibility of like a CEO, for example.
It's a huge responsibility. And a lot of, and when you're an independent call girl, you have to be your own madam.
How hard is that?
That's not everybody's cup of tea. And that's why I feel that people who run these businesses are really unfairly stigmatized and targeted, because they're actually providing an important service for women and men in this industry who perhaps would just prefer to do the work, make a decent living, and not have to run a business.
How do you respond to the moral argument against this, which I'm sure you've heard any number of times?
The moral argument against...
That is, it's just wrong. You shouldn't be a prostitute.
You know, I feel if you're a vegetarian, that's fine. But you don't have the right to go around passing laws that prevent the rest of us from, you know, from eating something other than vegetables. And I see people who are opposed to prostitution as being kind of in the same category as very strict vegans. It's okay. And you may even have a happier, healthier life. But... I'm not a vegan.
I just hadn't run into that comparison before. It was very interesting. Tracy Kwan is a former call girl, author of Diary of a Married Call Girl. We're talking about her former profession, in light of what we're hearing out of Washington, D.C. with Deborah Jean Palfrey. Is this not a dangerous business in some ways? I mean, it just seems to me you're going somewhere with a stranger. You don't know much about this person. Could be a nut job.
Well, that's possible. And in fact, a number of my readers have emailed me and asked me how they can get into the sex industry. And my advice is don't try this at home. I don't recommend that everyone, you know, should enter the sex industry. It takes a lot of skill. Sometimes a lot of intuition is involved. People make the choice to take certain risks. And in my novel, I'm talking about people who have chosen to stop advertising, who work only with their private customers. And there's a conflict between the people who advertise and the private sex workers, because the people who advertise feel that the private girls are being snobs. But in fact, the so-called snobs are, they're supposedly snobbish because it's a security issue for them. It's a safety thing. They feel that this is the best way they can protect their, you know, their lives sometimes.
Hmm. What's your advice, if you have any, for Deborah Jean Palfrey? I'm sure we're hearing a good deal about this, and we'll hear more and more in the days ahead. Any suggestions for her at this point?
You know, I feel a little cautious about advising someone on something like this. I'm not in her situation.
Yeah.
I think if she has a lawyer, I understand she has a new lawyer.
Yeah.
Who has a pretty good reputation. I guess my advice would be to listen to your lawyer. I would not follow a lawyer's advice blindly, but if you respect his reputation and you think that he's a smart guy, I would listen to him. I mean, that's what I would tell any girlfriend who was in this kind of situation.
Are you happy to be out of the business now, Tracy?
Well, I was in it for a long time, and I felt that it was time for me to move into a new career path. But I'm also very involved with the sex workers' rights movement, and I have a lot of friends who are still in the sex industry. And I like that part of my life, too. I like the fact that I didn't have to reject my past in order to move on.
When you say something to these people, they know you're speaking from experience and presumably pay more attention.
Oh, sometimes they tell me that I'm out of touch with what's going on. By the way, speaking of which, Xaviera Hollander and Heidi Fleiss have been giving advice to Deborah, or they've been commenting on her behavior. They criticized her for talking about her clients. And some of the people I know who are still working had a very different reaction. They felt that Heidi and Xaviera are no longer on the ground and that they are judging her too harshly, and I thought that was interesting. So sometimes when you're no longer working, people are very critical of that. They don't necessarily, they want to tell you what it's like. They don't want you telling them, and I don't blame them,
because
they're the ones who are out there putting their bodies on the line.
Tracy, thank you very much for joining us. Tracy Kwan, a former call girl, author of Diary of a Married Call Girl. Appreciate your talking to us.
Thank you.
It's Washington Post Radio. We're at 1500 AM, 107.7 FM, worldwide at WashingtonPostRadio.com. I'm Sam Litzinger.
Unless you have a mechanic in the family, it's hard to find someone you can trust with your car more than Curry's Auto Service in Chantilly, Dulles, Falls Church, or Reston, Great Falls. Unlike dealerships where you might find rookie technicians